Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. I want to share with you a message today. It might be a little bit different from what normal, for I believe today as I preach, I'm going to be speaking about Paul as he's writing to Timothy. He realizes his time is almost done. It won't be long before he passes off the scene. And so he's grooming Timothy, or at least instructing him, in order that he might know how to do and what to do as a preacher and a minister of the Word of God. Much of this, many times we might hear a message like this preached at a preacher's fellowship or somewhere where there's preachers available, because a lot of the message will be to myself. But I want to say that I believe it's our responsibility, every one of us, to know what is expected of the man of God, expected of the man that stands before and preaches the Word of God. And I pray today that it'll be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. If you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I'll begin reading verse number 1. Paul's writing, and again he says, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as is appearing at his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall not be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry." Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. It's been a blessing to my heart through the years. It's been an encouragement. It's been a help. It's been an instruction guide for me to understand what you expect of me as a preacher of the Word of God. And Lord, today I pray that you'd open our minds, our hearts, help us to be receptive to the truth that is set before us. And Lord, we'll just give you the praise and honor and glory for it all in Jesus' name. We ask and pray, amen. Just to confirm why Paul was writing, look at verse 6. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." So Paul knew that his time was short. It was written in the Westminster Catechisms. It was a question, a very provocative question, that was asked, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? And I believe the answer is just as provocative. It said, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. I think today that'd be a great thing to think about and a great answer that might be given. But our job is to glorify God and fully enjoy Him forever. And by the way, if you're saved, you will enjoy Him forever. Now, there's other of you men that have felt a calling of God upon your life, so today you can listen, because this is addressing those who preach the Word of God. But I think it's important that we know what to preach and how to preach, and I believe this is a great instruction guide for us to know. Now, the Bible says, glorify God and fully enjoy Him forever. But I'll be honest with you, that's not an easy task. It's not a task that just happens along the way. But it comes about by the right execution of the ministry that God has given to us. Every one of us today, whether you've been called to preach or not, we've been called to a ministry to serve God and be faithful to Him. I think we could say the fact is the reason we exist is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Glorify God, fully enjoy Him forever. When Paul was speaking to Timothy, he was trying to walk him through the guidance and direction of what he needed to do. And boy, I'm telling you, there's some powerful information in these verses today. I'll not have time to do it justice by sharing as much as I perhaps would, but I want to share with you today, I believe, the reason that you exist, especially as the man of God. The reason that God has called us, the reason we have pastors, the reason we have church, is the Bible teaches us what to do. And I want to consider this morning many things that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to you. And again, maybe you don't have the calling of being a preacher or an evangelist or even a missionary, but you have a job to understand what God has called us to do, and you must understand the job that God has called us to do in preaching the Word of God. Now, the Word starts out in verse number 1, and He speaks to us, and He said, "I charge thee." When you're charged, oftentimes we have an ordination service for a pastor or a deacon or whatever it might be. Somebody said we have to present the charge, and the charge is a charge of encouragement. He said, "I charge thee, therefore..." He says, "Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, when we begin to take the importance of preaching the Word of God, we stand accountable to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in order that we might preach and give that which He gives to us according to His Word. The first thing I want you to notice about our mandate that we find is we need to be a man of the Word. I've always loved this because, listen, it's so encouraging. The very first thing he says to Timothy is he said, Timothy, preach the Word. Can I tell you today, if I preach any other thing other than the Word, you really need to find somewhere else to go to church. Now, if I'm doing that, I've probably gone off the deep end something. You need to pray for me too. But the ultimate job of the pastor and the preacher is to preach the Word of God. He goes on to tell us that a man of God will preach the Word. He'll herald it. It's like a king's message. And not only that, but we preach the Word of God. The Bible said we're to preach the whole counsel of God. We're to preach from Genesis to Revelation, everything that God has set forth for us in order that we might understand the truth and that you might understand the truth. Because again, I want you to remember, and let me go back to verse 1. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. In other words, I will be judged for what I stand and preach in this pulpit. One day I'm going to have to give an account, and I'll be honest with you, that's a tall order. And it makes me nervous sometimes when I think about it, because I want to be faithful to God and I want to preach the Word of God as God would have me to preach it. But friend, I want God to be pleased with my preaching. I want God to be pleased with my preaching of the Word of God. But yet he reminds Timothy, there's coming a judgment day. And by the way, I believe pastors will be more responsible than you are. Not to say that you'll not be responsible, but pastors will be responsible for their doing what Christ has told us to do in preaching the Word of God. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:15, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is counted profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for rebuke. It went out the window. I used to know it. But anyway, sometimes we get a little older, can't quite code them. Why don't we look at it? 2:15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when we come together today, we come together in order that we might open the Word of God, that we might share it as it is and try to explain it the best we know how, according to the context in which it's written. I think anybody can take a verse out of context and use it to say anything we want it to say, but I believe all preaching should be done from the context from which we take it and understand it. Nothing will ever take the place of the preaching of the Word of God. I know all of us around here, we love good singing. And I tell you, I appreciate the good people we have that sing. But I don't believe singing will ever take the place of the preaching of the Word of God. He doesn't tell us here, you know, sing. He says, preach the Word. And it's important today that we do that. God did not call you. By the way, he didn't call me, or he didn't call any preacher, to manipulate people into being saved. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher. The Bible said we're just seeking to save those which are lost. We are. But you know how you do it? By the preaching of the Word of God. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I can't get nobody saved. If I'm trying to preach to somebody and preach the gospel, that's all I can do. It's God that has to bring them to a saving knowledge of Him. It's He. In fact, I don't believe anybody is saved unless they are drawn by Him into Christ. And so the job that I have today, I'd love to see the altar filled and people stand in line for somebody to deal with them about salvation. But I don't want something that's not going to last. I don't want people to make a decision and think they're going to heaven. I want them to make a decision based on the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and know that they're saved by the grace of God. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, just preached on this not long ago, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In Romans 10:17, he said, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the first thing we notice, and I've got to move because there's a pile of stuff here. He said, preach the Word. But then he goes on to say, be instant in season and out of season. Now, again, I'd say he wants us to be the master of the wind. We've got to be ready at any time to do what God has called us to do in being faithful. Be instant. I believe today as a preacher, it's my responsibility to always be ready. Well, everybody's to be ready to give an answer of any question that's ever asked of them. But I believe it's a responsibility of a preacher. If he's called to preach, he needs to have something to preach on a moment's notice. And again, I know it's much better to have notice, and I know it's much better to be able to have it planned. But he said, be instant, be ready to go. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes preaching, you know, we think somebody said, well, preaching is just a lot of fun. And I want to say preaching is fun. But sometimes preaching is very difficult. Sometimes we enter the pulpit, the devil, and I believe the forces of the devil will fight against the man of God that's preaching the word of God because he does not want the word to go forth. And so sometimes I literally, and I hate to tell you this, but there's been times I've stepped in the pulpit and I could feel the forces of evil and I could feel the devil working against me. And yet I want to feel the Spirit of God and I want the power of God and I want the presence of God. But preaching is not always easy. Somebody said, you preachers have it made. You just speak a couple times a week. That's all you do. But I'm going to tell you, and again, I'm not saying that I'm overworked. But I will say this, I do have other things that I have to do, not only in preparation, but other things along the way. There'll be times when you preach and people listen. There'll be times when you preach and people don't listen. I'll tell you, sometimes you can tell that. It's very discouraging to a preacher to stand up here and feel like somebody's not listening to the message. You see, it's not so much that I think that my message is great. It's so much that I think God's message is great. And I don't want you to miss out on it. I want it to be a blessing and a help to you. There's times when the message will be accepted. And there'll be times when there'll be utter rejection. I tell people all the time, don't respond to the invitation based on what I say. But I'm going to tell you, I would love to see the old days where people would flood the altar with their tears and they would come to get saved and come to pray and do whatever God wants to do. But listen, I cannot base my ministry upon what you do. I have to base my ministry upon what God's called me to do, and that's to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, regardless of which way the wind is blowing at any particular moment of time. I've got to be ready. The preacher has to be ready to preach the word of God. It's not a mere job. Preaching is a ministry. It's not a nuisance. Preaching is not a waste of time. Preaching is a privilege. And the man of God ought to be present and ready at all times to preach the word of God. Go back and look, if you would, at verse number 1 again. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, be mindful of the witnesses. I understand when I preach today, thank the Lord for the congregation that's here. But I understand I've got a greater congregation, I believe, in heaven that are overseeing and listening, but especially the Lord Jesus Christ as he's there, understanding that we'll give an account. John Calvin wrote, he said, he makes special mention of the judgment seat of Christ because he will require of us, who are his representatives, a stricter account of our failures in his ministry. The preacher must conduct his ministry with the knowledge in view of what's going on in the time around about him. The preacher is not accountable, I don't believe, to anyone except God. I believe it's my responsibility to please God. The preacher must never preach to please men or anyone else, but he preaches to preach God, to praise God. You see, again, let me stress this, okay? And I want you to understand what I'm saying. The pulpit, it does not give us an occasion to engage in hurtful rhetoric. This pulpit is sacred. This pulpit is not to be used to bully or beat somebody over the head with anything other than the Word of God. It does not give us permission. I've seen it happen many times. It does not give us permission to dominate or intimidate or try to humiliate people who listen to you. I want you to know today I'm preaching to you because I love you. I love this church. I thank God for what he's done here in 35 years, and what a blessing it is. And I tell you, I just preach what I feel God would have me to preach, and I want to preach the Word of God, and I want God to help us to learn the Word of God and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I was called to preach, my preacher, he said, cut it straight and let it fall where it may. And again, that's the way we have to do. It's not. And again, that's not trying to sound mean or angry or ugly or anything of that nature. It's just the truth of it is, if you believe the Word of God, we have to preach the Word of God as we see it and as God would have it. So there's the mandate. He's telling us to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We'll get to that in a minute. But consider the message that we're to preach. We're to preach a convicting message. All is vain if I show up here this morning and preach. And somebody don't, if there, if any, and I would have to say in this crowd, there's got to be some sin somewhere in somebody's life, wouldn't you? But it'd be a shame for me to preach the Word of God and a person not be convicted of their sin. Because the message that I'm to preach is a reproving message. Why do we come to church anyway? I know a lot of times people, they get mad at the preacher about this, and they get mad about, you know, if he says something that affects them or whatever. And listen, I'm not preaching to make you mad. I'm just preaching what I believe the Bible teaches me to preach it. So if you've got sin in your life, listen, I want God to convict you of that sin. You're not going to get convicted watching the ball game. You're not going to get convicted watching some kind of television program, but I tell you, you get convicted by the preaching of the Word of God. It corrects men's errors and their practices. It holds a bright light from the Word of God to reveal to us. What does the psalmist say? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what a preacher is? He's just a light shiner. He's trying to shine the light everywhere he can to convict us in order that we might be reproved and be convicted by what God has for us. Convict sinners of sinfulness in their life. Friend, today there's none of us perfect. There's none of us live a perfect life. But if we do have some kind of sin in our life and we come to the house of God, don't you want God to speak to your heart? Why did you come this morning? Did you just come so you just thought you would use the thing to do? Or did you come for God to do something and speak to your heart? And that's my desire today. I want to preach a convicting message. I want you to know Jesus died on the cross for your sin. I want you to know that if you'll confess your sin, that He's faithful and just to forgive you of our sins. And I'm glad today that He's willing to save those that come. He said reprove, and I got to move. He said rebuke. We need to preach a confronting message. Reproof exposes the sinfulness of a sin. Rebuke exposes the sinfulness of the sinner. In other words, the reproof says you're wrong. Now, again today, I surely don't know what's going on in anybody's life in this building today. That's between you and God, and surely only you know what you need. I don't. But God does. And God can give me what you need through me and through the preaching of the Word of God. And basically, if it comes to somebody said, well, the preacher said I was wrong. No, I just submit to you that God must have said you was wrong if you feel that was for you. For you see, I do my best to preach to people and understand that I want people to understand that preaching, this is not an exercise. This is not just to bide the time. We come to the house of God in order that we might confront the true message. And if there's sin in our life, what does the Bible say about sin? If we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not what? Hear us. Don't you want to be heard? Well, if there's sin in your life, I don't know whether there is or not, but if there is, don't you want the Word of God to convict you and show you? I don't want to convict you because I can't convict you. But if I preach the Word of God, He can convict you of the thing that is wrong. If you preach the whole counsel of God, I promise you, you'll be preaching to confront sinners. Because the Bible is very plain in what it has to say. Those who hear us preach are made aware of the ramifications. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God back in 1973 when I walked in the Eastside Baptist Church on a Sunday night with no desire at all to be there except somebody invited me to go. But the preacher preached the Word of God. And brother, he preached that night. Like some fellow said, the paint on the wall blistered a little bit, I believe. But he preached, and I found myself in a mess. I was weeping. I was crying. I was looking at my life and the way I was living and the things I were doing, and I could not wait to the invitation. I'm thankful for a preacher that preached a reproving and rebuking message. And I went home that night, and literally that's the night that changed my life. And I got rid of things that was hindering me from being what I needed to be. But we're to preach a comforting message. He said reprove and rebuke. That's the hard part. But he said exhort. The word exhort means to call to one side. We preach, we thunder against sin, but we should never reprove and rebuke, listen to me, with joy in our heart. I think there's some preachers that enjoy reproving and rebuking. And they do it with a harshness and a meanness, and it's almost as if they're mad. Friend, it breaks my heart that anyone in this building would have sin in their life, although we know we do, because the Bible tells us that we cannot say we're without sin. We have to confess that sin every day. But it doesn't make me happy. I'm not here so I can run you in the ground trying to reprove and rebuke you. I'm preaching to you what I believe God wants you to have to bring you to the place that you need to be if you need to come to Him and confess your sin and make right with God. What does the Bible say? It says we need to break up the fallow ground on it. I tell you, sometimes when you go to plow and the ground's a little hard and hard to get, he said we need to break up the fallow ground. And then also, you know, we need to apply the balm of Gilead. That's the balm of mercy. Putting it in the wounds of the hurt. I appreciate that song. I don't think it could have been any better this morning to go with the message. But I'm telling you today, people's hurting. People are hurting. They're going through. I think poor Brother Tim, he's really had it rough with his family. And I think of Brother Mark here this morning. I'm so glad he's here. And Brother Ronnie, as he's buried his wife and now has got his son with cancer. And I could just go on and on and on. Friend, today, when you come to the house of God, you need to be reproved and rebuked. But you need to be exhorted. Just come alongside. I'll put my arm around you. I'll encourage you. I'll help you. I'll do what I can. The preacher who's preaching to hurt audiences, hurt people, will never lack an audience. The preacher who preaches to a preacher who preaches to hurting people will never lack an audience. And that's what I want to do. Friend, I want to understand today I'm no better than anybody in this building. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I tell you what, when I go and I hear preachers preach, and that's why I like to go to the preacher's fellowship. Because God speaks to me. God convicts me. God reproves me. God rebukes me. But on the other hand, sometimes the preaching helps me because when I'm hurting, I know they're there to help. We're to preach a compassionate message. Look what he said. He said, rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering. You know what that means? That means just keep on, keep on. Patient endurance. Don't give up. Friend, don't ever give up on anybody. Don't ever turn away from them. Listen, God has given us a ministry to confront sin. He's given us the ministry to challenge the saint. He's given us the ministry of comfort in the hurting. But we must remember that we're one of them too. And we too need to understand why we have the preaching we do. He is to walk with the people. With the heart of a brother in Christ, we're dealing with people that have deep-seated issues. Change takes time. And because we're preaching to people, sometimes rarely, we may not see immediate results. But friend, it's God that allows me to plant the seed. It's others that water it, but it's God that gives the increase. We preach, we must not become angry or exasperated with the people of God. Friend, I'm going to tell you, that's one thing, and I think we've got here. I hear people often talk about our church. They love the church, the sweetness of the church. And I tell you, I can feel it. I know we do. And I'm grateful for that. But, you know, as a pastor, I don't want to ever. In fact, years ago, probably when I started out, I was a little rough around the edges, and I still am. But I when I first started out, I heard some people tell me one time, said, you act like you're mad at us. I might have been until I learned a little better. But, friend, I'm not mad at nobody. I'm thankful today for the Word of God. I'm thankful today for God's allowed me to preach it now about 45 years, counting the time I was assistant pastor. But it ought to be a compassionate message. But it got to be a confirming message. The next thing he says is doctrine. There's a bunch that says today, doctrine don't matter. Whatever you believe is what you believe, and that's all right. It don't matter how you think you're going to get to heaven. If you believe you're going to get to heaven, you'll get there. But that ain't what the Bible says. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm grateful today for the opportunity that we have to preach the doctrine and word of God. By the way, salvation is only by grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you confess your sin, he will forgive your sin. He'll come into your heart and give you eternal life. It's got to be a confirming message. Had years ago, and I've used the illustration before, had a family that visited us, and they came here from another church, and they said, we just had to leave that church because we tried two or three Sunday school classes, and there was people that was from different denominations and different beliefs, and they were all teaching different stuff. Friend, I'm going to tell you, our church needs to preach and teach the doctrine of the Word of God as it is to men as they are. Friend, it's confusing when you're getting all kind of messages. We need to know what is right and we need to preach it. But the doctrine's of great importance. But above all, we got to preach Jesus. I'm so thankful today. I remember years ago, my pastor, I was assistant at his church. He had a big old clock on a chain wrapped around here. Clock had quit working long before I got there. I don't know why he left it up there. But beside that clock, he had a little sign. Said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And I'm going to tell you, when I stepped into that pulpit, every time it convicted me, I'm responsible for to see Jesus and preach Jesus, whatever he'd have me to preach. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is my message. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now look at verse 3. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they reap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Friend, we got to stay by the stuff. We got to stay by the book. It's not a matter of somebody said, "Well, preacher, you don't understand. Times have changed." They have, but God hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe today that he said that people was not going to endure sound doctrine. In fact, people don't want to hear it. In fact, you hear about it all the time. People say, "Well, doctrine doesn't really matter. You know, it's just what's in your heart." All I got to say is you better have Jesus in your heart. That's what I think. We're living at such a time right now. People tell us, "Oh, everything's fine. We just need to, you know, don't do this or do that. Just, you know, entertain." Friend, we're not here to entertain. Paul said, "Preach the word, Timothy." If we're going to get the job done, we've got to do what God's called us to do. Now, not everyone is thrilled by Bible preaching. A fellow by the name of Albert Moeller said, "The danger of biblical preaching is, do you think it's what your church wants you to do, but once you do it, you find out that many people aren't happy that you are." But we got to preach the truth anyway. In spite of all that, we've got to preach the truth of the Word of God. In spite of what the church does, preach the Word. I've got to understand, listen, through the years, there's in the ministry, there's been some hard times. There's been times I wanted to quit, but I'm thankful that I didn't quit. Because God didn't call me to quit. God called me to preach the Word. Vast numbers preach to flatter people, to preserve their own kingdoms, to fatten their wallets. Somebody's worried sometime about, you know, they don't want to offend, afraid somebody won't give. Friend, I'm not preaching for you to give, although I believe you ought to, and I believe you're wrong if you don't. But my God shall supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. I'm not trying to be ugly, and I'm not trying to say we could do without. Listen, I thank God for people that don't have to be reminded that God's given us an opportunity to give back to Him. God's gift to the church is preachers and men of God preaching the Word of God. So consider it a mandate, consider it a message. But here, this can go for all of us. Consider your ministry. Verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry." The word "watch," he's talking about being sober. Means we're to be sober in everything that we do and understand that we need to watch. The Bible said we're to abstain from wine and to be sober. So it's a call for the preacher to be alert. Preacher has to keep his eyes open. Preacher has to see what's going on. What is the preacher to watch for? He's got to watch for the wolves that will destroy the flock. According to Acts chapter 20, verse 20 and 30, and I'll give you that verse. We won't turn there. He's to watch for the wicked one who would destroy his ministry. And believe me, 1 Peter 5:8, our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Many have failed to watch. Their ministries have been destroyed because of sin. They've had invading wolves. Watch, preacher, watch. Walk with your eyes open and your head looking all around. It carries the idea of keeping your head. Watch. I preached sometime back on Isaiah about being a watchman. I remember that message. And I'm going to tell you something. We've got to watch. Then we've got to be steadfast. He said, endure afflictions. There's going to be some hardships we have to suffer. The Christian life's not an easy life. It's not all full of blessing. It's not all without some hardships along the way. But a good soldier will endure affliction. I'm a soldier of the cross. I belong to the Salvation Army. You said, "I didn't know you was with them." Oh, they good, okay, but I'm in the Salvation Army. I'm in the army of my King. Hardship. I want you to know A.W. Tozer said in The Pursuit of God, the devil thinks and people being what they are, it is necessary for God to use the hammer, the file, and the furnace in his holy work of preparing a saint for true sainthood. It's doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. And again, I don't think God sits in heaven, wants to punish us. I don't think God wants to hurt us, but God wants to teach us. And sometimes we go through these afflicting times. We have to endure them. They're hardships that come. But it's another rung in the ladder of growth and getting closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then he goes on. He's talking about enduring, being long-suffering. Do the work of an evangelist, he says. What is evangelism? Sharing the gospel. I said a while ago, I'm excited. The kids are really excited about the candy. Man, they can't wait. They keep coming to me. Can we eat some now? Can we eat some now? No. Monday night you can have the candy. But I'm thankful we're going to give them some candy. But we're going to pack those bags with the gospel tracts and pray that somebody will read one and get saved. I appreciate Brother Wiley Lane. Many of you may remember Brother Wiley, and he's started making little plaques, refrigerator magnets that go on the refrigerator with John 3:16 on them. And he's asked me to help him, and I've helped him a couple of times. This year, and he puts the track, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, he tapes it to the back. He's got them all over Moultrie, Georgia, including the tag office. I mentioned this one time, if anybody wanted a ministry, this would be a great one. And I've put a few out myself and tried to go back and fill them. But this year, he's given out 40,000 gospel tracts with a magnet that goes on the refrigerator door. I just got to believe out of 40,000, there's got to be one or two to get saved. And if it's just one, it'll be worth it. But that's his ministry. He's got to the point they've got some health problems and not able to get out and do what he'd like to do. And they'd love to be here. They live in Moultrie, but it's so hard for them to even come to church. And they watch us online. But I'm grateful. He's evangelizing. And I went and picked some up. He listened. He knew we were having the festival. He called. He said, "Preacher, can I bring you some of these?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Bring them. We'll put them in the bags." I met him in Coolidge. I've met him on several occasions and picked them up. But friend, we're to tell the world that Jesus saves. It's a wonderful thing to help them, to feed them, to give them candy. But it's a better thing to give them the gospel, see them saved by the grace of God. So the reason you exist is to glorify God and fully enjoy him forever. Friend, today does your life glorify God? Today, sometimes preachers are expected to be CEOs, administrators, counselors, psychologists, technological gurus, janitors, Johnny on the spot. But the main job is to preach the Word of God. Be instant in season, out of season, rebuke. And understand now, all this came about because Paul was close to passing off the scene. And he wanted somebody else to carry on. And by the way, that concerns me too, because I ain't getting no younger. But I can tell you this, whoever steps in this pulpit behind me, I pray they still hold to the same values that we hold to today of what God has done in each and every one of our lives. Friend, it's a joy to pastor. It's a joy to preach. But I have a responsibility to declare to you, thus saith